A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online. And at our website, stevebick.com. And after Whitney weekend, every weekend produces another star, another impressive winner. In this particular case, not only was there the impressive Whitney winner, but a pair of impressive Godolphin Derby Oaks winners, Charlie Appleby and Will Buick. Will Buick. I heard the lads. The lads were calling him Will. It was funny. There was a number of moniker discussion points. I think John Imbrial called Charlie Appleby Charles, and which I was happened to be standing with him on Saturday. Him and Dan Pride, and he was like, "Oh, Charles." Charlie Appleby and Will Buick, and then when Nation's Pride entered the winner's circle, they really didn't know where to go for the photo. And so the lads were like, Will, over here. Two terrific efforts, obviously, Nation's Pride, and then with the moonlight yesterday as the Godolphin juggernaut. International juggernaut is probably the should name a horse international juggernaut. The the performance, though, of Life is Good, that was the centerpiece, obviously, of Saturday and of the weekend. And I discussed this yesterday on air on TV with Seth, and we had the Matisse brothers, Paul and Duke, and I guess some people weren't blown away, I guess, by Life is Good. Given how often there's, criticism of, rating speed on the front end, and, the discussion of not, letting a horse utilize his best asset. I mean, didn't Life is Good utilize his best asset? And didn't Arad Ortiz and Todd Pletcher and the team essentially, play to his strength? And in a lot of ways, this is, and of course, the flight line equation yet to be viewed this summer, looking ahead to the Pacific Classic. But for Life is Good, very much like a Knicks Go scenario, a horse that is just going to throw down and you got to chase. And I certainly understood, the approach that was taken by Doug O'Neill and the Hot Rod Charlie team, Flavian Pratt, even with the blinkers on. It's one of those difficulties. We'll talk to Mig about it at 10 o'clock. It's one of those difficulties where you engage early and you cost yourself your opportunity versus letting the horse essentially roll along and demand to be caught. In the end, it was actually Happy Saver, who had his backers, absolutely had his backers, and they, depending on how you bet it, they were rewarded. There were people I heard, leading in saying, Happy Saver can win this. And there was a few strides. There were a few strides that looked potentially like Happy Saver was going to get to Life is Good. And, of course, Arad Ortiz opened himself up to, some criticism when Life is Good got to, wandering a little bit down toward the rail and was he closing off the approaching Happy Saver? I mean, it sure looked like he, Life is Good was was finishing fine. The inside, we'll have to talk about that at some point. Maybe Rich can bring that up too, and Andy tomorrow. But if you saw Dave Grenick's piece about, some horsemen expressing, concern and just kind of running up the flag about how deep the track is, how tiring it is, demanding, etc. I mean, it's been obvious at least this first half of the meet that you better be fit coming over. But the inside, seemingly had been not necessarily the best place. And in fact, even when I don't know who it was. I was watching from the winner's circle, and I'm not sure who it was that said when they saw Happy Saver and Johnny, kind of angling inside, that's not the place to not. Who said this? It was a crowded. It was actually a crowded group, but somebody said that's not the place to be. And I don't think he. I don't think it was going to matter at that point. The horse that really did not, if you want to say, show up, was Olympiad. And you knew if you were an Olympiad backer, and I picked him, I could tell just past midway on the backstretch. I said, "Ugh, he's not going anywhere." That was the one thing you knew. Midway through the race, that if you had expected Olympiad, you were not going to get anything. He really did not run well, which is surprising. That's really his first off effort, here in this extended run. So it came down to Hot Rod Charlie and then Happy Saver chasing home Life Is Good, and ultimately wins by a couple of lengths. He came back. I tell you, Todd can't join us today. I talked to him earlier, and he the sale today, tonight and tomorrow takes precedent, and so he's hustling over to the sales ground. And as virtually all horsemen are going to be doing as soon as training ends, with a few hours before the yearling sale starts tonight, and I'm sure we'll get plenty of coverage. 6:30 is the kickoff. If you're in town, in fact, Seth and I discussed this yesterday. Nicole Russo joined us yesterday on TV. She was, as always, terrific. And if you're in town and you're staying, this week, and or you came for the weekend, and you're staying a few more days. And if you've never been, I mean, if you've been, you know what to expect. If you've never been, make a plan to come over to the sales grounds. It is great fun. It is a typically electric atmosphere, and it's a terrific catalog. Nice mix of reliable top line sires, the Curlins, the Into Mischiefs, and then some of the younger sires that are either already, ringing up successes. Then you got the first crop. It's a fun catalog, heavily laden with Uncle Moe's, Into Mischiefs, Curlins. Then on the new front or recent front, Gunrunner, Justify, Bolt Doro, three of the top four first crop stallions. Throw in, there's no Sharp Azteca, but he continues. In fact, we had that Wayne Catalano firster that, was that Saturday or was that Friday? That looked like, at least to me, looked like a beach ball. but we'll get plenty of sale coverage in the next 3 days. Right now, we're still kind of savoring what we got to see over the weekend. And that's even without talking about Del Mar and Mountaineer and everywhere else. I will include Mark Cassie tomorrow. Mark Cassie busy today with Mrs. Weber. They're looking at yearlings, in fact, at this hour. And for Mark Cassie and Mrs. Weber, a very good weekend. That included super hoity-toity up in up at Woodbine on Saturday, winning the Colleen. But then yesterday, the excellent effort, really nice performance in the De La Rose. That was something. Our flash drive, I mean, she absolutely buried that field. And, you know, it's funny because on Fig, on particularly on third graph, she was faster than everybody by a wide margin the last, you know, these last two performances. And she was terrific. So a very nice weekend for Mrs. Weber. And in fact, she's had a couple of very good weekends the last couple. With a nice mix of stake horses and some young emergent horses after a couple of quiet seasons. So always I'm a big fan. The Cassie weekend, though, also included Friday. One of the things we're going to talk about with Mark, undoubtedly, is Teppan's enshrinement on Friday. And it just so happens we had dinner at Osteria Danny on Friday night. We always, the Siak is Bobby's birthday, so we always seem to be celebrating it at Danny. And in came Bat Masterson, Bob Masterson, and here it was, hours removed from, you know, being able to, I mean, just, I imagine, marvel at his mare's accomplishment, getting it to the Hall of Fame. And so I congratulate it because, of course, you know, we're doing the show on Friday. So there's no way to be over it. In fact, I haven't been to a Hall of Fame ceremony since we moved to the mornings. I went to quite a few in a row when we were 4 o'clock. But that's 10 years, more than 10 years ago now. So, you know, can only read about it and watch, you know, the video clips. But I went to congratulate Masterson, and I said, how was it? He said it was unbelievable. He said, I mean, just magical. He said, who gets a horse like this? I said, you. What kind of question is that? Who gets a horse like this? You did. So we'll talk to Mark tomorrow. We'll talk to Todd on Wednesday about some of the accomplishments. And of course, Todd, not only the win in the Whitney with Life is Good, and they're looking toward the Woodward and the Breeders' Cup Classic. There's been a couple. I mean, he's had a couple of nice performances, and even in defeat. The performance of Croupy, and as I wrote in my handicapping analysis for Saturday, I said they didn't name Vinnie Viola and Mike Rapoli didn't name a horse after the late J.J. Croupy, the great J.J. Croupy. They didn't name a horse after Croupy that was a crow. You had to know that the horse had talent. Now, he was a little green, more than a little green, but boy, when he figured it out in that maiden win of Disarms, and Disarm was very good. In fact, Steve Asmussen's going to join us. I owed Steve a visit from last week. We'll talk to Steve first this morning. And that race, I mean, as I wrote as well on Saturday, the Whitney Day maiden special weight, 7/8. You know, this is not unusual that this ends up being a loaded wagon. So I would keep that chart and keep a very close tab on what comes out of this race and watch for these to come back. Croupy, you know, ended up getting beat a half a dozen, but not all that, you know, not all that important in the scheme of things long term. There was also a Mott runner-up in here, Arthur's Ride. That's who Croupy almost caught. And Arthur's Ride actually ran very well. I mean, set the pace, and it was a price, too. It was 14-1. And then there was Shug's horse who chased Perform. That was the Woodford. And there were lots of pedigrees in here. And this is one of those races you're going to be, you know, you're going to be seeing here for, you know, quite a while. going forward into the fall. So Croupy, the Curlin, out of Don't Forget About Me, and that's one of the nice, you know what, I hadn't really put that two and two together about the mare, but with that name. This is a Claiborne bred that Vinny and Mike Rapoli paid $275,000 for. Disarm, if you saw the picture, I thought a nice picture of Disarm in late stretch coming to the wire. This is another, as we discussed with Sid the other day, this is another Tappet mare of Ron Winchell's that was bred to Gunrunner. And I, as I said on TV yesterday, and I said to Sid, this is going to be just a font with all the Tappet mares that Ron Winchell has. You can't imagine how many nice horses are from this, you know, this cross is, as Sid discussed, amazing. So Disarm, clearly going to be something to follow, and maybe, you know, maybe the hopeful. We'll see what Steve says. In addition, with Todd, I should mention, you know, the one race that was sure to get overlooked or was going to be a little bit obscured by the weekend, by Saturday, was that that eighth race, the Allowance, that featured St. Tappet and Osborne and Money Supply, and they filled out, you know, first, third, and fourth. There was an interloper, Doug O'Neill and Calumet Anejo, with Johnny at 20-1, ran very well. But it was the focus was on the 3-year-olds, and St. Tappet, very solid. This is the Havre de Grace, the Havre de Grace Tappet, and yet another of Mandy Pope's, you know, now steady supply of nice horses. The 3-year-old debuted at Belmont, of course. We mentioned it at the time, 93 buyer. This was a 90 buyer on the follow-up, and you'd have to think, we'll see what Todd says Wednesday, but you'd have to think, you know, they're a little obligated to consider the Jerkins. I mean, there's so many, you know, there's only so many of these available grade ones, you know, going the trip. So we'll see what Todd says on Wednesday about St. Tappet. And we'll see how, I don't know how active Mandy Pope needs to be anymore, right? She's got this elite broodmare band, and they're starting to produce. So we'll see if, you know, we'll see how many, you know, what she does, perhaps in the ring, the next couple of nights. Beside the Godolphin wins, got to talk to Wesley Ward, and I think we're going to talk to Wesley in this hour at potentially at 9:40. Chi-Town Lady, and boy, you want to talk about horseplay angst and having a good notion and then not taking advantage. This will teach you a lesson real fast. I mean, obviously, Matarea, you know, you look at the race and. You know, when you go back and consider the sequence, it turns out this was a good place to try to, you know, to take a swing against the favorite or at least be covered. I like Chi-Town Lady. I made her the second pick as a best value. She was the only closer in a field of speed. So I thought, all right, she'll pick up a piece. You know, Joel fits her and fits the scenario. He'll come running and he'll grab a slice. Maybe be second, you know, big exacta under Matarea. Yeah, good for you, genius. Unbelievable. She runs right on by at 17-1, and yeah, gurnished, as we say in Yiddish. Ugats. nothing. You who's got, somebody put up the Willy Wonka. Good day, sir. You lose. You were smart enough to. And in fact, I was sitting with Dr. Miller and with Steve Carlin up in the turf terrace, and Steve was monitoring exactas, and he said, "Who do you like?" I said, "I said the right horse is Chi-Town Lady." So, you know, we're betting exact is underneath. Jesus, unbelievable. So I hope some of you were smarter than I was on that front. Warlike Goddess, we should mention. She was terrific. And I was a little, I thought, I don't know, I thought that Virginia Joy on her best could beat her. Temple City Terror was the right other horse and the right price, almost 15 to 1. And boy, she runs hard every time, almost every time. And they get another nice Pocket Aces, our friend and one of our partners, in fact, Dr. Miller and Steve Carlin are partners. Dave Brown, all excited. Dave was up and thrilled, of course, with another placement for Temple City Terror. And what else went on Saturday? That was the Saturday action. Nation's Pride, I could gush over and over again, hoping to catch up with Dan Pride. You know, maybe we'll get Nick Luck, who was in, of course, for the NBC coverage. But we'll certainly talk about both of the wins. Nation's Pride, the Teofilo Derby winner, and then yesterday with the Moonlight. What the paid $780, the Godolphin two-day double. And, of course, there was a not a refund, but there was a conso. That was too bad yesterday. I haven't heard about from Ian Wilkes about why Walkathon. I thought Walkathon was okay in there and had her covered, in fact, in the two-day bet. And then going back to Friday for a second, when we talked to Wesley, in addition, obviously, to Chi-Town Ladies' win, Golden Pal, and I guess people weren't satisfied with his win. you know, that he had to kind of gut it out a little bit and, you know, was a little, you know, under pressure. They're not machines. You can't wind them up and send them out there. And then there was Ready to Perform, who, you know, that Hall of Fame, there were several that could win. And Joel and Brad Cox with Ready to Perform, the Kitten's Joy, take the Hall of Fame. And then, of course, yesterday, in addition to our flash drive, how about Naughty Gal? Got to wandering, as they say, blew the turn a little bit and almost opened the door for Janis Joplin, the maiden in there for Cassie and Gary Barber. She gets a stakes placement in here as a maiden. And Dyna Drive. Tom Morley, that was the big upset, actually, on Saturday. That was the big price that in the middle of the card on Saturday that kind of threw things off a little bit. So, very fun day, a very fun weekend. You know, caught some nice things, and looking forward to the second half of the meet, day 20, of course, on Wednesday. We'll reach for Steve Asmussen. We'll get Steve in here, and we'll talk about what's been going on, because we didn't get a chance to talk to him last Monday or Tuesday. A couple of other spots. You know, I referenced Skippy Longstocking and the West Virginia Derby win. Good performance there, and Folsom won that governor's stake. So we've got to get to probably Brad Cox had a big day at Mountaineer, in fact, also won that House of Delegates, the Speaker's Cup with Price Talk, another Kitten's Joy, good weekend for the late Kitten's Joy, and also Adventuring won the President's Cup. What did I miss in there? Oh, the Legislature Chairman's Cup, Johnny Ortiz, Hollis, the very nice Hollis, Mike Maker, Special Reserve won the Senator Byrd, and there was one more. I'm missing one. Where's my charts? Was that the grass race? Yeah, that was, Special Reserve, of course, the Paradise Farm and David Stoddicker. There it is, Command Strike. Sorry, James Jackson, Elkhorn Oaks, a romping winner as the second choice in the Secretary of State. That was the Philly and Mare Sprint, and even the score. So they looked like a nice afternoon at Mountaineer. They always put on a nice card, and it got bet too. I mean, the the all sources, $2.2 million. So it looks like they had a nice card. It's so funny when you have a day, like we did at Saratoga. You just, you know, even with Mountaineer on some of the screens, like when you come into the clubhouse and you're on your way, you know, I kind of gravitate back and forth from the track apron, you know, out by the paddock and then back and forth. And, you know, so you'll glance up at the multi-screen, you know, the multi-screen with all the, you know, there's like the three televisions on either side of the big screen. And so I was cognizant that West Virginia, the Mountaineer card was going on, but I didn't get a chance to see it live. That's what happens when you get a day like we had on Saturday. As we wait for Steve, let me mention a couple of the results at Del Mar, and that included in the grade one, in the Clement Hirsch, and as well as Brad Cox, you know, as good a weekend as he had. It wasn't perfect. let's put it that way. They can't be, right? They can't all, you can't win everyone that you send out. But when it came to trying to defend her title, didn't go well for She Dares the Devil, who, I don't know, was chasing Private Mission. I thought Private Mission disappointed, but what was interesting was that Private Mission took no money. I mean, you kind of, I don't know, it felt like she was kind of dead on the board. It wasn't going to, I guess they knew, but they knew in the other direction. 4-5, She Dares the Devil, and Blue Stripe, Hector Berrios, what a great win for him, and Marcelo Polanco, the Argentinian mare, at 5-1. And there was no doubt about her, you know, her performance here. Blue Stripe, nice. Paso de Luna on the ownership. So congratulations. And in fact, I'm curious now that we say that about Hector Berrios. It's got to be. Has got to be a first grade one for him. It's actually, not only is his first grade one, it's his first graded stake one. I didn't realize that. How about that? Congratulations to Hector Berrios. That's great. That's great. Good for him. Wow. That's a huge win. The other stakes action at Del Mar in the La Jolla, Cabo Spirit and George Papa Padromo. How about how about the meet Papa Padromo's having? Another you know, coming off the heels of the win last weekend, and follows it up with another graded stake. Cabo Spirit with Joe Bravo. You also had Shizmosa win the CTBA, and Carmelita's Man, the California Dreamin', Dean Peterson. And going back to Friday, to that real good deal that came up, Mandela, who, you know, was missing the opportunity to enjoy Beholder's enshrinement, was able to take some solace in Big City Lights, winning that real good deal. So Del Mar for the weekend, plenty of maiden action as well to touch on. So we'll get that as the week ensues. Then yesterday, might as well mention we're still looking for Steve, right? from yesterday, and these I've got to catch up on. What, you know, one of the Asmussen weekend successes, in addition to the Maiden, another McLean's Music. Of course, last week it was Jackie's Warrior, but in those stakes at Ellis yesterday, the Twin Spires Turf Sprint, all in sync for Asmussen. Creative Credit won the Turf Sprint. You had Henrietta Topham, a Lemon Drop Kid, win the Distaff Turf Mile. And in that, Evan Williams, there was at least a there was a, I don't know if you want to call it a modest upset, but you know, certainly when we looked, in fact, I just, now I'm looking for the, where's my chart? Got so too many charts here. But you know, Mr. Dumas, we said on Friday, it just looked very tough, but in the end, he had a nice three horse finish that saw Gray's Fable. Brian Lynch and Steve Goldfein, Kerry Provost, Jeff Zlonis on the ownership with Gray's Fable, $23.54. Still getting used to the random dollar amounts in Kentucky. That's going to be now the future. This is what you're going to see. Yeah, $23.54. 8.20 and 5.12 for Gray's Fable. I know. 2.88 for Mr. Dumas. It's just kind of, it's great. The breakage, the new breakage era. The eliminated breakage era. So, all right. Yeah, well, Case is telling me that he's having some difficulty raising Steve. All right, I sent him a note, Case. Let me also mention a couple of things for later. Jessica Paquette in the second half of the show as Colonial and Monmouth. It's week two of the Mid-Atlantic Monday Pick Four. Two from Monmouth, two from Colonial. And if you hadn't heard last week, and of course, last week they had a little bit of a hiccup, but Monmouth starts things off 4:17, the sixth race, then the Colonial seventh, the Monmouth seventh, the Colonial eighth. So 4:17, 4:33, 4:45, and 5:01, four sequential races, and basically the whole thing will be over in you know, essentially 45 minutes. Kind of cool. Love these, you know, right? The multi-race, multi-track options. Might take a different
approach here, right?
Because Steve used to have. He used to have three phones that we used to have to try him on, but that hasn't been, we haven't done that in a long time. All right. Well, then, maybe we can switch up then. All right. That's what we'll do. Hold on. We'll go in another direction, try to circle back to Steve. As an option, all right? Yeah, make it... all right.
Case, I just heard back from Steve. He says... it has not rung through, so maybe try a different.
Try that again. If you have trouble there, then have him
I could have him call you. Usually, a lot of he calls you back sometimes, but obviously he needs it. Yeah, he needs it to ring, right? All right. You know what? Take a break here. Let's take the early break, and we'll come back. We'll get to Steve Asmussen soon enough here. Back after this.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule, an average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your